Let me begin by congratulating you and Professor Robert Nkiri, Minister of Labour and Social Security of the Republic of Cameroon, on your well-deserved election to the presidency of the 100th session of the International Labour Conference. I'd like to assure you of my personal support as well as that of Tanzanian delegation in the discharge of your responsibilities. Allow me also to express my sincere appreciation to the ILO Director General, His Excellency Ambassador Juan Somawia, for the kind invitation for me to address this historic 100th session of the International Labour Conference. I feel greatly honored and privileged to be afforded with this rare opportunity of being associated with this important milestone. Mr. President, this year's conference is a very special one for the International Labour Organization and all its members. It marks an important milestone in its history. As we all know, the ILO was founded for the purpose of eliminating all forms of exploitation of workers and labor. During the period of the past 99 sessions to this historic one today, the world has witnessed millions of workers being freed, social protection being advanced, and labor standards being regularized and enhanced. It is indeed a milestone worth celebrating. There is another reason for us to celebrate on this auspicious occasion. The ILO has proven itself to be a formidable organization. Our organization has shown enormous degree of resilience. The ILO has not only survived, but has actually grown from strength to strength amid this challenging historic epochs. Mr. President, allow me also to mention another important factor that I appreciate about the ILO. This organization has remained proactive and has always kept abreast with changing world circumstances. As a result, the ILO has remained relevant at all times and the unwavering bulwark of workers' rights and advancement. It was no surprise to me, therefore, that the ILO was among the first international organizations, if not the first, to raise the alarm on the negative trends of globalization. No wonder the ILO introduced the agenda for decent work to respond to the call for social justice to millions of workers in the wake of globalization. This organization has been at the forefront of advancing the agenda for the protection of the vulnerable, particularly women and children the world over. Mr. President, I consider the theme of this session very opportune indeed, given the high levels of unemployment and the challenging working environment many workers find themselves in. By focusing on the new era of social justice, the 100th session of the International Labour Conference addresses itself to the all-important matter of ensuring basic services and safeguards for the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. It also puts emphasis on the importance of creating opportunities for decent work, which by definition means availability of jobs that are productive and secure, jobs that ensure respect for labor rights, jobs that provide adequate income to the worker, offer social protection, and allow social dialogue and bargaining. Mr. President, this meeting is taking place at a time when globalization continues to pose challenges and presents opportunities for countries as well as for the work of the International Labour Organization. The relationship between globalization and labor is that of interdependence. Globalization depends on labor for its success. As a result, a crisis in globalization inevitably results in worsening conditions of labor, even though its prosperity does not necessarily mean social justice. The recent world economic and social crisis has posed new challenges in the realization of the decent work agenda and threatens to erode some of the lofty gains the world has made in the past many decades. These new challenges demand new approaches. The ILO Director General's report speaks volumes about this and provides us with new lens for viewing the global challenges. It calls for transformation of existing patterns of growth to make them economically more efficient, socially stable, environmentally friendly, and politically sustainable. Mr. President, the report's message is timely because it challenges us all to rethink about the way we conduct socio-economic affairs. This report gives credence to the work of the World Commission on Social Dimension of Globalization, which my immediate predecessor, His Excellency Benjamin Mkapa, had the opportunity to co-chair with the President of Finland, High Excellency Tarja Halonen. The Commission affirmed the existence of an unfairness in globalization and proposed ways of redress. There are in our globalized world patterns of growth that are skewed against developing nations. This is not right. It is neither acceptable nor is it sustainable. Globalization, therefore, demands an objective and transformative leadership that can respond to these myriad of challenges by designing and promoting policies that can steer the world economy to a more just, equitable, and sustainable development. We highly appreciate ILO's leadership role on this important matter, and Ambassador Juan Somawia will always be remembered for his invaluable contribution in this regard. Mr. President, achieving social justice and decent work in a globalized area has proven to be a daunting task for many developing countries, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where the majority of the poor nations are. There are several reasons for this state of affairs. Firstly, in the quest to attract foreign investments, countries are compelled to create conducive investment climates. Unfortunately, in many countries, this has been done at the expense of great labor, social, and environmental costs. As we all know, and ironically so, FDIs are attracted to places where there are low wages, to places where there are lower taxes, and to places where there are less environmental regulations. Clearly, these trends, which are the current expression of globalization, are at odds with ILO's goal of securing decent work and environmental protection. Difficult as it may seem, it is imperative for developing countries to design policies that promote efficient growth patterns that are inclusive, environmentally friendly, and sustainable. After all, sustainable development calls for a balance between profits, people, and the planet. Secondly, Mr. President, the majority of the people in Africa, 70% or more, are employed in agriculture, which by and large remains traditional and subsistence. Unfortunately, there is little use of modern science and technology in agricultural production, and there is overdependence on seasonal rainfall patterns. And with day-to-day's climate change, frequent droughts, and unpredictable floods, things have become very difficult on the agricultural sector. As a result, both productivity and production are low. In plain places, very low. This, coupled with the volatility of markets for agricultural commodities, makes engaging in agriculture less rewarding and creating decent work a serious challenge. Mr. President, despite these challenges, there is hope that with appropriate policies and innovative interventions, African agriculture can be transformed, become more productive, and decent work secured. We have to modernize production methods. We have to establish agro-processing industries. Why should we continue to be exporters of primary commodities? Why should we continue to export jobs to the developed countries? why not create those jobs in Africa? Improve domestic markets, increase access to international market, and get fair prices at both local and global marketplaces. It defeats the purpose, Mr. President, to talk of social justice without taking into account the fate of poor farmers who form the majority of the labor force on the African continent. Mr. President, we also need to address the problem of unemployment and underemployment, which is ever increasing, particularly among the youth in developing countries. It is steadily becoming a serious challenge with undeterminable consequences. Addressing this problem effectively is not so very easy for most countries, for most of our countries, in view of the low levels of development of our economies. Therefore, joint, collaborative efforts are needed. This would involve governments, local and international businesses, civil society organizations, development partners to jumpstart and increase the speed of job creation in developing countries. The third reason, Mr. President, is that of the presence of a large informal sector in Africa. Many of our people enter the informal sector not as a matter of choice, but as a need to survive. In situations of extreme poverty and high unemployment, the informal sector becomes the savior. It offers ease of entry due to being least regulated and having relatively low requirements for education, skills, technology, and capital. However, most jobs in the informal sector fail to meet the requirements of decent work. Therefore, the challenge before us is to strike the balance between the need for work and the deficits pronounced in the informal sector. This is a challenge for all of us to find a suitable answer. If successful, it could enable millions of workers in Africa to make a living. Millions of them lift themselves from poverty under work conditions that are decent. Mr. President, I welcome the decision to include on this 100th session the issue of decent work for domestic workers. There are millions of people, particularly women and children, around the world who are engaged in this type of work to provide a living for themselves and their families. Unfortunately, despite the important services they render to their employers and their households, domestic workers are among the most exploited and most abused worldwide. Worse still, they usually receive policymakers' faint attention. Fortunately for us, in Tanzania, they are recognized by law and they are well anchored in the provision of the basic rights. Mr. President, all of us here know about the Global Campaign on Social Protection and Coverage for All, which was launched in 2003, aiming at promoting and extending social security to all with interactive strategies. We are also aware in this regard of the ILO's Declaration on Social Justice for a Fair Globalization. I would like to use this opportunity to express Tanzania's gratitude to the ILO for technical and financial support provided to its constituency. Indeed, extension of social security can be achieved through tripartite collaboration and adherence to international labor standards. Nevertheless, innovative policy mechanisms and dialogue between the employer, employee, and government are essential. Mr. President, Tanzania has a number of social security schemes which are either contributory or non-contributory. They provide short and long-term benefits for healthcare, education, maternity leave, employment injury, retirement and survivors' benefits, and pensions. Yet, to a greater extent, these schemes are still limited in scope, since only 5.4% of the total worker force of 16 million Tanzanians is not covered. It's only 5%, 5.4% is covered. So the remaining 95% almost is not covered. The remaining labor force who are in the informal sector are not covered. They find refuge in family and community-based social support systems, which, to say the least, are inadequate and unpredictable. This is far too low a coverage and a serious deficit that we have resolved to overcome. I'm glad to say that work has already started. We are exploring possibilities of relaxing criteria for qualifications so as to enable workers in the informal sector to access and benefit from social security schemes. Some of the social security schemes have already developed programs whereby individuals in the informal sector can voluntarily register with them. I'm sure their success will inform and encourage the others to do the same. Mr. President, I'm also pleased to inform this August Assembly that we have delivered on the promise of establishing a Social Security Regulatory Authority. The institution is already in place and performing its functions of oversight, regulation, and harmonization of social security schemes. Besides that, the Regulatory Authority is also charged with the task of developing strategies to extend social security coverage to as many people as possible. We hope in this regard the elderly, the vulnerable, and those working in the informal sector will be covered and benefit from it. Mr. President, before I conclude, I would like to say a few words to acknowledge social dialogue as an important pillar for attaining conditions of decent work. I say so from first-hand experience of the Tanzanian workplaces, where this pillar has been well anchored. It has served well to improve work relationships, promote industrial harmony, enhance productivity, and stimulate economic growth. Social dialogue creates space for reflection instead of emotive-driven negotiations. It can therefore replace adversarial relationships with collaborative partnerships, develop a shared understanding of problems, and facilitate constructive discussions on policy formulation. Mr. President, Tanzania remains committed to enhancing social dialogue at all levels. This has proven to be of great value in harnessing and improving industrial relations in the country. We will see to it that all the established organs of dialogue function properly and the calendars are observed. We in government on our side will not falter on our obligations and commitments. I'm happy that we have maintained the meetings with the trade union leaders during budget preparatory processes. The dialogue has helped to find common understanding on a number of pressing issues that affect the workers and their welfare. I've maintained personally regular meetings with trade union leaders some days before May Day celebrations. At our last meeting this year, we agreed to increase the frequency of these meetings, preferably to 3 times a year. We all agreed, and we are all committed to ensure that we deliver on this promise. This dialogue, again, has proved useful. It is in our interest both to ensure that it continues and it endures. Mr. President, let me conclude by once again thanking you for availing me this rare opportunity to address the 100th session of the International Labour Conference. I join hands with all of you in celebrating these great successes of this organization that have been achieved over the many years. We look forward to a future full of optimism that social justice for all will be realized. Mr. President, I thank you for your kind attention.